very much.
Welcome everybody to the Scotland Management Board meeting this evening. Agenda item one is apologies.
I've had apologies from Councillor Bevington and Councillor Fryer, Chair.
Okay, I've just got to read this out before I carry on. Now, this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council website. Please also know that under Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under Council control. Thank you for the apologies, Michael. Item two is minutes of the previous meeting. I have minutes for the meeting of the 8th of August 2018 and minutes of the meeting of 8th of October 2018, which was the call-in meeting. Those members that were present, are you all happy for me to sign the minutes off?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much. Item three, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests on any matters in the agenda. No declarations. And then item four is declarations of the party whip. No declarations. Mm-hmm. Item five is questions under scrutiny committee procedure, and we have no questions that were submitted. Swiftly on to item six, which is our scrutiny work programme and issues arising from the scrutiny groups and panels.
Thank you, Chair. If you'd like me to run through the
questions you can do, that'd be great.
So the first one was that on the 21st of August, the performance scrutiny panel hinted that they want you, and the scrutiny management board, to consider the panel's views on the zero waste strategy, and that's the detail that is set out on page 4 of this report, which is on page 21 of the published papers. Okay. So if you look to page 21, the part that's in the italics, which is the second half of that page, those are the recommendations to the scrutiny management board. And you're being asked to decide or to consider those issues and decide what action you would like to take with regard to them. There's a number of actions you could take. One would be to note those points. You may wish to refer those matters to another scrutiny body to have a look at in more detail, or you may want to request a further briefing from officers about the matters that are referred to in those points, and then decide when on receipt of that whether you want to take any further action.
Okay, panel members, we've heard the suggestions that we could do. We've had the papers, so I'll take it that we've read these. Is there any preference as to which of those three options that you'd like to do?
You take the point that zero waste may no longer be attainable, so according to the waste management strategy, I'd be quite happy with that. Then the other ones are really just a statement of fact, aren't they?
Yes.
Less glass being recycled and a reduction in newspapers. Well,
yeah, that's a reality.
And then, of course, the waste reduction, the waste prevention is the more effective, but that's not within our control.
No. So the suggestion on the waste strategy policy, we could have policy scrutiny group to have a look at that, because it is the policy of the council, and see if it's fit for purpose anymore, or if it needs tweaking. So but that would be the appropriate body to have a look at it. Are we happy with that?
Yeah.
So that would be an action. PSG, take that up. Okay, thank you. And the other points will just be noted as statements.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Chair, so back to page 18, the second action that's requested is that you consider a recommendation from the policy scrutiny group, and that was on the 25th of September, that the various recommendations are noted there, A, B and C, on page 18, that those are referred to Cabinet in respect of the open spaces strategy. And essentially, probably item C there, that the Cabinet be asked to draw attention of local MPs and the government to the issues so that a change in the law could be considered to require developers to offer areas of open space and local authorities for adoption. So this is all around the current policy on open space and adoption and what the law and the council's current policy is in regard to those matters.
I think the use of management companies is well within our scope of possibility. We either do or we don't. And also taking to point into account the no consideration of the ability to pay when certain charges are levied, maintenance work below quality and escalating costs.
Mm-hmm.
Seems that that's there, those are within our remit, within our, but the change in the law to force builders to offer it to us, I don't think it's, well,
that it's not asking us to do it, it's just asking Cabinet to ask local
okay. to it's asking yeah. that the Scrutiny Management Board you draw these matters to the attention of Cabinet as an area of concern.
Mm-hmm. I think I would say we should
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any other? I think I agree with you. I think people pay the council tax and they expect certain things, and then they're asked to pay a management fee again in these new developments, and it could, you know, it could be construed as charging double. But yeah, we'll take it forward.
On the panel, it was particular worry.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody thinks it's the council's responsibility.
Yes,
really,
and
Hamilton was held up as an example. And there's pockets in there, there's parks that are belonging to a management company, next to parks that are city controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people have passed the book. It's very easy to do, oh, it's not my land.
It's not my land. Yeah.
And you know, you've got that in position where people are paying twice but not having a good even one service, let alone two. And at the moment that's what we wanted, to get MPs to lobby and get that changed.
Okay, we're happy to for those recommendations to go to Cabinet.
Yeah, we always get the blame, don't we, because we're the ones who ask for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, in Mount Sorrel the parish council pushed their precept up by about 150%, and I'm getting all the phone calls.
Because are you wait, Claire, charges. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Jeff. For the next one.
The third item is at the top of page 19, which comes from the performance scrutiny panel from their meeting on the 9th of October. And that is that the customer service strategy and the housing acquisition strategy be added to the work programme. And the reasons for that are in paragraph 3 on the bottom half of page 19. Bottom half of page 19. And I guess the issue there is whether those matters are policy related matters or performance related matters. So if you wish to add it to a work programme, it's whether you want to refer those matters to the policy scrutiny group or back to the performance scrutiny.
Right, please, thank you. Any comments on that one? Because I think if we're looking at policy or strategies, it potentially could be policy scrutiny group. But we have the chairs and vice chair of performance here, so.
I don't know whether I'm getting confused here, but you said on paragraph 3 at the bottom.
Yeah.
And of course that's commenting on the zero waste strategy and then leads into the panel queried whether. So I'm looking at the bit about the housing.
Yes.
Am I looking at the right bit?
I've
ignored the waste.
Was there was a consideration of zero waste strategy, but the discussion went on.
Yeah.
And then said, well, we've got these other strategies.
Yeah.
And maybe we should be looking at those.
At those.
And my issue that I'm flagging up for you is the things that scrutiny might want to look at could be policy matters, i.e. have we got the correct strategy? Rather than is the strategy being implemented in the way that it should have been implemented, which would be around the performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's that distinction that I'm trying to draw. But it is about housing and
Well, the panel had queried whether the alternative options for acquiring properties other than the open market, as reported. I'd be interested in pursuing that. But where would you pursue that? And is it because it's our policy only to go to open market?
That's the policy to look at.
So, are there other alternatives out there that need exploring?
So I would call that a policy issue.
Yeah.
We'd say if we're buying houses on the open market and we're not buying as many as we should, that's a performance issue. If we're saying we shouldn't be buying them on the open market, well, they're on policy, we should be buying them in another way. that would be a policy matter for me.
Or building them themselves, for example.
Yeah, whatever it may be.
So, is policy happy to take that on?
Yes, but of course I won't be after May.
No, but you could ask for a big between now and then.
Yeah,
okay. That's fine. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're happy to accept the recommendations, but we've agreed that they should go to the policy screening group rather than back to performance.
Mm-hmm. And just clarify that for the
proposed
customer service strategy as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And then item 4 is for the scrutiny management board, this meeting to consider whether to establish scrutiny panel to consider the likely impact of the planned waste incinerator near Junction 23 off the M1, and the scoping of that is attached to your paper. It's appendix 4, page 68.
Yeah, I've got Councillor Parsons here who has scoped this out. Councillor Parsons, can you give us a bit more information and then we can have a discussion on it? Is that okay?
Yeah, I think we obviously have the new incinerator at Shepshed being built. I don't think we can have any doubts that there will be impacts to our local residents who we represent, as wide ranging as we have one of our biggest estates being built there, and I'm cognizant of the next item on the agenda with regard to the 5-year supply outcomes and the importance of Garendon. I think there's a range of issues relevant to the local community since the Planning Commission was passed that I think the community would expect us to engage with on their behalf. And I think the community quite rightly will ask us if we don't engage and give them some brief as to the potential impact, positive and negative, of the incinerator. I think they would worry that we weren't engaging at this point in time. Where we can see the beginnings of progress, we've seen the beginnings of development start now, or potentially start, the finances being put together for the incinerator to be built, and the parts coming together on that basis. And I think we're in a significant change since planning permission was granted a number of years ago. I think the scoping document allows us to consider the main issues which the public would warrant as important, I think. I think a number of positions probably have changed since 7 years ago of key institutions within our community. So I think that's a good background. And I would also note in relation to the scoping document that we're about to look at for the next item, I would think that there are more than adequate reasons for scrutiny if I compare the two from the 5-year supply and what those outcomes are. From that, I think we have more than enough reason and justification to look at it, and more than enough reason for scrutiny at this point in time, to identify best available technologies which might mitigate, were we to identify any impacts, and to provide public reassurance that we are on the case looking after the public's best interests.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Parsons.
Councillor Harris. I was initially concerned that we'd just scare the public when it's too late, but I thought afterwards that we owe them the duty. It was not our planning decision, so we can at least come up now with the full facts. And the public haven't got the facts, and if we don't do something like set up a panel, they never will, until they find out, maybe later on when someone does an article in the press or whatever, and then they'll wonder why we didn't tell them when it's our duty to. So maybe it's after the horse is bolted somewhat, but we can at least clean our hands of it and say, look, we've done our work, what do you think about it? And then we can contribute to any kind of growing opposition to it. I'm sure there'll be lots of that once the public is properly informed. I just wonder how we can inform the public best once we have done it, because we don't want to have a panel sitting around collecting information and then does nothing with it. So how would we then get the information out to the public. But that's not an argument against it. I'm just saying I wouldn't want to waste members' time collecting a load of stuff and then nothing happens with it.
I think identifying the key tasks in the scope of the document, if you look at the fourth of the key tasks, publication of outcomes report from the screening panel, or from the screening panel chair, which means the panel as a whole. So I think that there's a distinct outcome to publish and communicate what we produce to the community, because I think they will struggle to collate the information themselves.
Yes.
And I think we are their representatives to do so, and I think the impact across the whole of Loughborough, as I say, I'm very cognizant of the next report. I think we note in the next report that the importance of our major sites, and I do wonder what will happen to the 5-year supply and the speed of purchasing of houses when a large chimney stack appears within 300 yards of the nearest property, 400 yards of the nearest properties. So I think, you know, that there's plenty of reason the public would expect us to be interested, not just for the incinerator in its own sake, but I think some of the other issues that may affect this council going forward, and some of its biggest institutions, such as the university, who we've made a lot of play with over many years of our working relationship with the university and how important they are to our town. And I think they've considerably changed their position over 7 years, or 8 years when the planning commission was given, as has legislation and technology. So I think we have a duty to look at the impact of similar scale facilities. I think we shouldn't underestimate it. It's a large facility recently licensed to do another 50,000 tonnes over and above the original brief of 300,000 to change the process. And I think we would be negligent were we not to inform the public of the impact of other similar facilities. There are many in the country, one or two of a similar scale. I don't think there's anything quite so close to housing on this scale in a town location. I think the public would wonder why we weren't interested at this stage in the 7 years of changes that would have taken place. So I concur that we have a strong case and a reason for scrutiny which will have impact.
I agree.
Okay. Councillor Seaton.
I'm just mindful of, we haven't got the facts. We've got the facts written down, and the public can, if they need to, that it's reams. Reams upon reams upon reams of facts going through from the inception of having that to it being finally passed. So the information is there, and obviously it satisfies all the agencies, the environmental agency. It wouldn't have got through if at that point it wouldn't satisfy what is needed now. So we are now going to look through that same, just the same information. We're probably then going to be able to, if we scrutinised it, probably be able to present it in an easier, more succinct way for the public. Probably that's would be the benefit of it. But again, it's not facts, because it's not built. We can't second guess what impact it's going to have. I think we've all really agreed that there's going to be a negative impact, because to have anything large on your front doorstep is going to be a negative impact, even if it's a huge shopping centre with all the relative cars and transport going to it. So it's going to be a negative impact than having it as it is now, which is a relatively wooded area, isn't it, and not used very much. So, but I'm just worried that we're going, not worried, I suppose, but it's what value it's going to have going through all the same arguments and coming up with, I don't know whether we can come up with a conclusion, because it's not built. We can't come up with a conclusion. So I don't think there's any harm in doing it, as long as we're doing it for the reason of telling the public in a more succinct manner of the impacts it's going to be.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Seaton. I come to Councillor Capleton. We'll have, hear all the comments, Councillor Bosman, then you can summarise.
Yes, I'm going to make some very good points. That is why we're doing it. And another comment to be made is to reassure the public. The trouble is that what comes out of the Panel Act is might not reassure the public. And if the wrong journalist gets hold of this, this could be a national press, you know, a different slant put on things, and we could end up with all sorts of stuff around our neck. Now, if we do the panel and we find unfavourable information, we can't suppress it. That would really be very wrong. So then, I'm sort of saying, thing, should we do this or should we not? It was approved by the Environmental Agency and the county planners, so
okay.
I wonder if we let things lie.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Ransom.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to everybody, and I agree where Councillor Parsons is coming from, and I agree with how Councillor Harris is coming from, everybody on the side. I think it's to put, we did not make the decision, as Councillor Seaton said, it was actually, the decision was already made for Charnwood, where it was going to be located, and relocation of the thing. I think, yes, we could actually sit and do an anomaly and do a collation of information and make it, as Councillor Seaton said, more easy to read for the general public. But are we opening a can of worms? Because it's beyond our remit, because it's all been pre-decided for us. But as a council, we have got to think, you know, the impact on our residents. And yes, we can actually look at it and see what the impact may be or may not be, because today's society, in all sorts, it's not, incinerators aren't like in the 70s or 80s. There are various cooling systems on them and various filters, you know, and things like that. And I don't really know what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. I will go with the majority of the committee and decide the decision of what they want to do, you know, mainly for the residents, really.
Okay. Just Mike Watson before
we start. Councillor Mayor, just before you, can I just say one thing? And I think Councillor Harris said it here, we can wash our hands of it. And with all the greatest respect, we can't wash our hands of it.
I'm suggesting that.
No,
suggesting the opposite.
Well, I think it was implied if we do this, we've done the most we can possibly do, you know, and we can hold our hand up and say it's not our fault, and that's a very dangerous thing to say. Okay, well, it's not our fault. We knew it was bad, or it was good, whatever the outcome is, but we're not responsible. We are. They are our residents. And no matter what you say, we are responsible. Mm-hmm. And we can't say we've done as much as we possibly can, and we complained about it, and we petitioned against it, and so on and so forth. So I can see both ways. I can see that the public, as I say, there's reams and reams of information about it, but it's not user friendly. It's not friendly to the residents that need to know at the end of the day how often they'd have to wipe their paintwork down. This is the going down to it. How much dust it's going to create. The university will be. About the chest, whether it's it'll be taken on by the athletes. So different organisations, different bodies, the residents have got different issues with this. So we could probably do a panel and take it down to the level of impact on the house 300 metres, was it, away. But I think we might end up scaremongering, but we shouldn't actually run away from that either.
Okay.
So I'm really stuck between the two.
Just put in a scrutiny perspective on it, and thank you all for your comments. One, the decision's made on whether the incinerator should happen or should happen. So that battle is lost in respects, you know, let's say if it's a negative. Are we going to monitor the incinerator? No, we're not probably going to ever monitor the outcomes of the incinerator. But I think that's the environmental agency who are going to do that, and it's a licensing issue. The residents, may have accepted it's going to happen because the planning permission was granted about 5 or 6 years ago, and I believe the final planning permission and the licensing just recently. So they may have accepted it. So I think there's a danger that if we formulate this panel and we get it going, we're going to go over the arguments that probably went over during the planning permission stage. And I don't think we have any extra information that we could give that isn't already in the public domain. So I don't see any of the added value to the scrutiny of anything that Charnwood could do differently, or us as councillors could do differently, that will directly impact the incinerator. I can understand about all the outcomes, but it isn't even built yet. And it might not even be built in the next 2 or 3 years if financing can't be sorted and so on and so forth. So I'm like Brenda, is it a bit premature, this panel? Are we always going to be talking about hypothetical things? And then finally is that we don't want to be scaring the residents of Shepshire or the residents of the university or the people who live closer to our 300 metre circle unnecessarily, again, because... but I don't think there's an outcome that we can give to Cabinet, and Cabinet can say, actually, on this outcome, we can do this and change our strategy this way.
I've just thought of something. On the houses that are being built in Carradon, as part of their search, the solicitor's search, it will be on the searches. That it is going to be quite open there, that there is going to be an incinerator. And I think that's very important, because people need to know what they're buying the house and it's going to be near. So as for the new housing and people not knowing the impact, those houses hopefully are going to be built probably before the incinerator. So I would want assurances that is going to be on the search when the solicitors do the searches. That's
okay. So I'm going to go back to Councillor Parsons to address some of the issues that were raised, and then we'll go back and we'll make a decision.
Well, I think tackling some of the points raised, I think the scope and document's very clear. It's looking at the impact of similar scale facilities. I don't think anyone can argue that if we look at what impact similar facilities have had, that will give us an idea of what's going to happen. So I don't think it's hypothetical at all. I think we can look at the real life impact of similar scale. This is a very unusual facility due to the scale. This is not something small. This is a substantive UK facility in terms of its scale. So I don't think this is something that it's hypothetical. I think we can go and look at very similar facilities, of which they are limited in number in this country, and look at what impact they've had, where they are, and the impact they've had in their local communities. And if we come back favourably disposed, that's fantastic. I think if I was a member of the public and I was left with the choice of let's not scaremonger them by telling them nothing, or let's find out information, just present the information to them, I would very much want the information presented to me. I don't call that scaremongering. I would call that responsible counselling. I think presenting information to people, allowing them to make their choices, is a fundamental aspect of what we do as politicians. I think not doing that is an abdication of our duty. On the point about the legislation 7 years ago, the legislation has changed substantially. There's current ongoing work. I think our own MP has written to the All-Party Parliamentary Committee on Environmental Standards, and that letter's already gone into the chair of that particular committee. The legislation has changed, as has the planning, as has the scale of this facility, with an increase of a further 50,000 tonnes. So I think that what was passed 7 years ago, what's now being proposed, is now substantially different. So I think that we should be cognizant of that. All I'm asking is to look at the impact of similar facilities. I've scoped out 3 or 4 key areas: impact on air quality, impact on recycling performance, economic impact, positive and negative, jobs, energy supply, tourism, reputational damage, residential property. There'll be positives and negatives in all of these that I think we should present to the public. Because if it's going to happen, I would want the council to responsibly tell me what happened in similar facilities around the country on a similar scale. The scoping document's very clear, the scoping document's not controversial. The scoping document's looking at the impact of similar scale facilities, and at this scale it is rare, there are not many. As I understand it, nothing so close to residential housing with the prevailing wind across the town, so therefore we have to be cognizant of that. The application has changed since it was passed, and we all know from our experiences of planning processes that get something through, we can then incrementally change things. Any councillor who denies that, we've seen that 1,000 times in planning situations. I defy any of us as councillors to not say we recognise the situation of seeing an initial planning application come through and then be salami to get extra from that planning application once the core principle is through. I wouldn't want to go back to my residents and tell them that we decided not to do anything. And my residents only 5,000 people in Nampanton, but population of Loughborough, who are all affected by this, just Garendon, Nampanton, just the very closest of wards, but the whole town is influenced. One of our biggest institutions, the university, now has a changed view. Would we take cognizance of that as a changed view? So I think that all of those points are clearly answered in the scoping document, and I'm just looking to facilitate this council looking at similar scale facilities, what impact they've had on their community, so that we can inform our community. I don't consider that scaremongering.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Parsons. Councillor Harris.
Councillor Parsons has made most of the points I wanted to make, but I want to support what he said, but I would hope that what we're looking at is not entirely hypothetical, because if it is, then it was a very dodgy planning decision that has been made, because that would have been made on facts and not hypotheses. And the Environment Agency has also looked at it, and they don't work on hypotheticals, they work on actual examples and extrapolate that onto whatever they're approving or disapproving. So I would hope that we're looking at facts and not hypotheses. And you, Chair, said that it was scaring people unnecessarily. I don't think it is unnecessary. I think it's our duty to tell them the facts. If they're concerned about it, then so be it. It's not our remit to say, oh, we're going to cover it up because a few people might get scared.
No, okay. I think that's been misinterpreted. I think what it is, and I just want to clarify that point, yeah, is that we can't alter the decision of if the incinerator is going to happen or not. We can't alter the decision of where it's going to be located, and we can't alter, as borough councillors, anything to do with it. In fact, we can't even alter the highways or the amount of traffic or what kind of traffic regulations are going to be there. So, as a scrutiny body, not as an administration, but as a scrutiny body, I'm just looking at what value we can add that will make this decision any better for any of the residents. And if you say that we can inform them, the information's out there. They can just Google incinerator and the impact of living near an incinerator. I'm sure that information will come up. But I don't...
Sure, the university will have.
Yeah, the university will have. A lot of this argument should have come out at the planning stage, and if it hasn't at the planning stage, and the residents have been through that. And I don't think that we should use a panel to go through all that ground again, and I think that would just be a waste of our time. This is, being frank, a waste of our time, and there won't be an outcome that we can satisfy anybody with. But that's me saying it, and then we can go.
I fundamentally disagree. I think informing the public is our duty. I think it's very difficult for Leicestershire County Councillors to comment too hard on this. As I understand, Leicestershire County Council were bought into an incinerator in Coventry. So I think that does rather influence views in terms of the incinerator issues. I can't help but notice that particular issue from Leicestershire County Council. I think informing our public of what's happened in other areas, part of scrutiny's role is to go out, look at the impact of things in other places, and bring back best practice and ideas to this council. That's fundamental to the role of scrutiny.
That's what I'm asking to do, is to go and look at the impact. I would ask you, in terms of the impacts and the sorts of things you're commenting, when we move on to the next item and we look at the comparable list, I would ask you, in an open and honest fashion, to consider whether that list has more impact than what's being proposed here.
Councillor Seaton.
Right. You have told us several times that you just want to compare other facilities, and that is fine, but it's still, at the end of the day, we cannot do anything. Hypotheses and fact, we can hypothesise on this development because it's not built. It's been the figures have all been munched out, and they are as near as factual as can possibly be, but they're still not fact because it's not up and running. We want to see the harm it's created when it's up and running, if it has caused any harm. At the moment, we're just second guessing that. It's all been through every argument that could possibly be made against this facility has been made. And okay, the 5-year housing supply may be, in Councillor Parsons' mind, be negligible compared to this, and he may well be right. But we can do something about the 5-year housing supply. We monitor that, we regulate it. We can't do anything about the incinerator. We just can't do it. And if it's a fact-finding mission that he wants to do, then whether there's another way that we can do that besides a panel going to other facilities that, in what Councillor Parson has said, is not the same as ours. It's not as near to houses as ours. So I'm not quite sure. We're comparing not coal and cheese, but it's sort of, you know, Red Leicester and another cheddar. We're not comparing like for like and the impact. It's all been done. It's all been done. I went to the first ever meeting at Shepshed. Goodness knows how many years ago was that. And I've been at the meetings from then. And I can see the arguments for both sides. But it's been done. The decision is out of our hands.
Okay. Jeff?
Just a couple of, I mean, a number of decisions have been made. So if you want to scrutinise something, one of the fundamental purposes of scrutiny is to help decision makers make better decisions. So the only ones you can help with are ones that have not been made. So that would mean identifying who are the decision makers about anything in the future, and whether there's anything that a scrutiny of this would produce that would assist or influence those decision makers. And you quite rightly say it's not the Borough Council in the majority sense. The planning decisions have been made, the environmental decisions have been made. So you'd have to identify who are the decision makers that would be influenced. And there is another added value of scrutiny, which is actually identifying issues and, if you like, putting a public spotlight on them, which I think is what part of this is about. But that's not to make somebody make a better decision, because those members of the public predominantly won't be the decision makers, unless they decide in the light of that not to buy a property in the vicinity or something, which would be a personal decision they take. Just on the scoping document, the reasons are set out, which is about communication of the impact to the community, which is not really a decision, I'd suggest, to look at technology and to give public reassurance that scrutiny is actually doing its job properly. So those are the reasons that this is being suggested. There are a couple of things that have been said this evening which, if you want to take those aspects forward, I don't think they're fully covered in the drafted scoping document, or they could be brought out a bit more clearly. One has been mentioned of reputational issues. Well, I can't actually see the word reputation anywhere on the document you've got in front of you. So if you wanted to go ahead and consider that, you probably want to include that within the scope. And the second is looking at similar facilities, we do mention in the stakeholders incinerator owners, but there isn't actually a task of looking at similar facilities. It says site visits and exploratory discussions with authorities. So you might want to just clarify that and say, you know, where there are similar facilities, just to make it
I think it's in the first sentence in the scope. There is a need to research the impact of similar scale facilities as that proposed on their local communities. That's the opening line of the entire scope.
Okay.
So I think it states
that. But in the, you're going to, the task, I just think you might want to just pick that up in the task. That was all the point I was making about.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Right, I think we've had...
Can I just say something?
Yes, Councillor Ransom.
The fact is, we've been up and down this road, and as has been stated by everybody, it was out of our hands, and everybody, this decision wasn't ours. Now, what I'm going to suggest is a little bit of a mediation decision, is to put this, shelve this onto such times that we do know that the actual incinerator and the houses are going to be, actually the foundations are going down, and then look at the what the anomaly round the situation of the nearest house to that incinerator is going to cause. And it's only a mediation that we don't take this off the table, but we put it on the back burner to come back again in maybe 2 months or 3 months or maybe even 6 months' time, but don't, because you know, we're still looking for the well-being of the residents.
Okay, that's a suggestion there. Does anybody want to support that suggestion before I go to... So we've got a scoping document here, and it's up to the Scrutiny Management Board to make a decision, and we've had the decisions on both sides of whether to have it or not, and also to whether to defer it. I'm just going to go, I think we're a bit split here, so I'll go to a vote here.
I think Councillor Parsons has brought it up, so I think that myself and probably Councillor Mear will declare an interest at this point, as
members of Leicestershire
yeah. County Council. And yes, there is an investment made in an incinerator. You're quite right on that, but it's not an investment as in we're a stakeholder. It is just an investment, as an investment. It's okay. Not, we've not got any dealings with running it or anything like that.
Okay, so we've got scoping document in front of us. All in those favour of setting up the panel? All those... wishing not to set up a panel. Okay, we have that. That's fine. Okay. So we'll move on to the next item, which is item 6, I believe, which is... Okay, so just for the recording purposes, the committee's decided not to set up a scrutiny panel on the proposed New Hurst Quarry incinerator. Okay, thank you. So, which takes us to item 6, which is our scrutiny work programme and issues arising from scrutiny groups and panels. Jeff, would you like to take us through this? Okay.
Let me catch up the pages, Chair. The current work programme is...
We've got the key divisions at the front this time.
Yeah. So appendix A, page 20. Oh, sorry.
There's a separate paper, I think.
So the, if I may, key decision notice was published after the agenda went out, so that's in your separate little thing, paper that's the back of your agenda.
Yeah, and then the rest of it's here.
Appendix 2 is page 24, that's the annual procurement plan, and you've got a number of those. Taking you up to page 44.
Yeah.
Sorry, 45, and then the current scrutiny work programme starts on page 46.
So if I start with appendix 1, which was a separate attachment, I'll quickly run through that, Chair.
Okay.
Starting with decisions in November, so they are towards the bottom of the second page, the medium term financial strategy, on page 4 of that separate document. The medium term financial strategy is being presented to Cabinet on November the 15th, and from there to Council in January on the 21st. That will have been looked at by the Budget Scrutiny Panel. And this is the final version, the draft version having already been published. The next item, which is scheduled for the December Cabinet, is to seek approval to act as a framework contract for the supply of electricity for 4 years, basically. And that is a procurement decision for Cabinet, because the value of that contract is over £500,000, so they are reported individually to Cabinet. So if you wanted to look at that procurement, obviously you could add that to a work programme.
Yeah.
Possibly for OSG.
I don't think I would like to look at it, but I'd like to understand what it is. To seek approval for access a framework contract.
Yes, so what, when the council buys its utilities.
All right, so it's just like us, it's called framework.
We go through this thing called a framework contract, and what happens is that the best bundle of suppliers is looked at, and then we procure over a long term contract on a pre agreed contract arrangement that lasts 4 years.
And that is on which properties?
All the councils. This is our own estate.
Yeah.
So this is building and our other like the town hall and
yeah.
The other buildings
that
we own, our assets.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And it's because it's for 4 years, the bill is over £500,000.
Yeah.
I've been through that, start going through every one of them. There's just the one that I'd like OSC to pick up, actually, which is the discretionary houses and multiple occupation licensing scheme option.
Yes, this one. Yes.
So if you skip the open page 5, you've got a housing development company proposal going to Cabinet in December. The next round of Charnwood grants, which is the normal grant process, the playing pitches, open spaces and built facility strategy. So just to be clear, there's a current one which was the one that was looked at by Performance Scrutiny Panel last month. This is a refresh, this is a fresh strategy or a refreshed strategy. And then the next one is the HMO licensing report, which is December, which is the one you're referring to.
Yeah, that's why I'm referring to, yeah. I think OSG should pick that up.
The housing development company, I can't remember seeing that, Keith, can you, any of ours?
No, it won't have been, this has not gone through any previous scrutiny process.
Is it too late to go on policy?
Yes, for December. I think it's too late.
Our next meeting's November.
Yes. The 13th.
Could you not see the cabinet paper there or draft of it?
Yeah. I didn't see any forward decisions, so.
Never
seen it before.
Yeah, well,
is
put
that
on your agenda.
Mark? Yeah, but they won't come back here, will they?
No, because the time isn't there, but you can have a look at it, and OSG can have a look at it.
Yeah.
If there's anything that you want, you can feed into OSG.
You're probably right that there is time for this to go to policy scrutiny if it's November the 13th.
And that's where it should sit, isn't it?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other place is to pre-decision scrutinise this issue when it's actually, when the cabinet agenda is published, which would be just a week before the 13th of December. On the 11th,
so the cabinet agenda for 13th of December is published on the 30th of November.
Yeah, so the PSG is on the 13th, is it?
Yeah.
The
13th? It is, yes.
So if you wanted to put schedule this for the 13th of November. There's just about time to do that.
Yeah.
Shall we do that? Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask when it was first?
2 weeks before.
Because it's obviously it's not a simple, you know, idea, is it? Why is it only just come on any papers?
So by way of background, a little bit of background. Yeah. A lot of local authorities, say what, about 50, I believe, have set up over the years companies to as a vehicle, if you like, as a means of providing more housing.
Building more houses.
That's out there. It's not an unusual thing.
No.
And therefore, we're aware of that in the housing service and have been... The question is, where's it come from? This is kind of a movement within local government to try to do things to enable more housing to to be established.
I understand what it is.
We've been looking at the opportunity to do that on and off for, I would say, 2 or 3 years. Our issue has been finding an actual development opportunity where we would actually use this as the vehicle.
Yeah.
Instead of that, we decided to set up,
Be the vehicle.
And then look for opportunities rather than find an opportunity to set up the vehicle. Wow. But this is being done in conjunction with other local authorities across Leicestershire.
Okay.
Other housing authorities, I should say. And there's been some joint work done, which I think started in March of this year. There have been various multi-agency discussions about setting that up, because we could have an organisation that's owned by several councils, which splits the cost down between us, makes it more cost-effective thing to do, and therefore there are a number of ways this could be done. That's one, and this report is coming forward to get an agreement in principle to go and set something up. That's where it's all come from.
Okay, I think yes, Mike.
Just a clarification point. The report that you identified from the forward plan regarding discretionary housing multiple occupation, that was already identified by OSG, that's already in that programme for December.
Brilliant, that's fine. I think, is there anything else in December? Because all the rest are in.
Well, then you've got the budget and capital plan amendment report, but the budget scrutiny panel, capital amendment report is the normal quarterly update.
Is the electric one, purchasing an electric framework, coming to OSG as well?
No. I don't think you want
that. They can, if they want to, they could make that decision, or you can decide you want them to look at it now, or if you particularly want them to, or you can leave it to them.
Have you ever tried to sort out your own electricity unit?
Stand in order.
Stepping up. I think that's item 6 covered then, I think, because the rest is...
Well, the next one's running into February, which is the Treasury Management stuff. So, if you want to look at that in your next meeting,
that's fine.
Okay, sorry. So, then you've also got just appended, you've got the list of contracts that are going to be awarded. So, anything in any of those listings which are identified at Appendix A, you could look. You could refer some of those to scrutiny if there's anything there that you particularly wanted to look at, like a septic tank in the outlook, or the access to equipment in Jubilee Park, and etc. etc. There's a whole list of things there. And you also have available, I think, it's in two parts, isn't it? The larger contracts, which is Appendix B.
You know, I always have to say something on the event, like the procurement plan.
Yeah.
Is it possible to say where the money's coming from? No, because it comes from other things. Some of it is privately funded, isn't it? It's from a funding. Or is it just council money?
Quite often.
Because sometimes it's 106 stuff, isn't it? Because it still has to go through your procurement, no?
I think that's quite rare. Yeah. Generally speaking, these are council, Charlwell Borough Council projects and services that we're looking to re-procure for various things. So they're either for our, it just actually mentioned the service area.
Yeah.
So if you look on, let's go from the very beginning, Clinton Open Spaces.
Yeah, relevant heads of service.
You know, that's going to be, I think, from our capital plan, all of that kind of thing. And if you look over the food safety work, I suspect that's probably from just the revenue budget of the service. Then you've got some IT ones, 11, 12, 13, 14 on page 28. That will be our budget.
14.
That's 28. And then you've got licensing, specialised printing for labels, driver badges. So that will be our taxi licensing service. Again,
yeah,
that will be our budget.
Okay.
But I think generally speaking, they are from our budget, and there are capital projects. The bigger ones are probably capital, and the smaller ones, revenue. There may be some in here that are, you know, jointly funded by us and someone else.
That's what I mean, and on those ones that are jointly funded.
I'll remember.
Jeff may be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but on page 33, for instance, there are 10, 11 and 12 number of things in relation to the Syrian refugee scheme, as I understand it, but we're the lead agency on behalf of the council, and we do the curing on behalf of
seven.
Well, but we obviously, the cost is shared.
Well, this is funded by the Home Office.
Yeah. So
it's a separate pot of money that we are the accountable body for, that in the jargon. So we hold the money for that. And we do this on behalf of five other districts. But that one is externally funded, but I can't spot any of that.
This one, cleansing and open spaces.
Yeah.
And this is Sandfields Park, improvements of paths, access, seating and equipment.
Yeah.
That's two on page 32.
Yeah.
Would that be out of Loughborough Special Rates?
I think that's just in our capital plan.
That's just in the capital plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's revenue maintenance work,
yeah,
then it could be, that will be the Loughborough rate. Yeah.
I can't help but notice the irony, given our confidence in the Environment Agency and past decisions, why on earth we'd be buying air quality monitoring equipment at this point in time. I can't help but notice the irony of that particular issue. It's been brought specifically on request to get background information for the incinerator. It's been a special request that's gone in, I believe, via the leader.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
I don't think there's anything that we want to pull from the any of the further ones. Okay. I think we've covered that.
I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's everything on six.
Okay. So
which takes us to item seven. By the Housing Supply Scrutiny Panel report, which is on page 71. So I want to grab it later to get to page 71. And then we did start this panel off about January time, I think it was.
24th of Jan.
24th of Jan. And then we had a change of chair. And we have our new chair with us.
You do?
So it's yourself, Councillor Seaton.
Oh, the site's not secure, isn't it? By default, I became chair because Debbie Taylor was chair of this committee. And then with her promotion onto cabinet, I was the only other SMB person on that committee. Which was really lucky for me. So, 5-year housing supply. On pages, we've got the key points from developers. That it was a very good panel, I thought. We invited three of the developers through, one of them being CEG, which is the agent for developers for the Sue in Thurnston,
yeah.
And we also have the smaller developers, individual developers in for the other houses being built. There were several recommendations and comments as well on this. And I'm looking desperately for the recommendations.
Page 78 and 79.
Thank you. I don't like this. I'm going to go with paper. So 78 and 79. So we had panel observations as well. We identified a few things, talking to the planners here, talking to the developers. Some things were identified as being potential points that could hold up the development, as in communication, change of staff, and all of that has been put down there really on the recommendations and the observations. Now we went in for that, I didn't realise there's a Sedgefield model and a Liverpool model of how to calculate your 5-year supply. And because of the difference method now used to calculate our 5-year supply, we have got a 5-year supply and we want to keep that 5-year supply. So some of the recommendations were to look at that, so that the 5-year housing supply figure be added to the council's key performance indicators. So that's one recommendation, to have it on as a KPI on policy. What this report doesn't say is, well, it does actually, which is okay, I've got some notes from Councillor Snart on this, and it says that the quarterly report is to be provided by a performance scrutiny panel if the 5-year housing supply figure falls below 20% of the requirement. So if it's, we did actually say if it was 5.5, that roughly equates to the 20%. But the panel application deadline figures are added to KPIs as well. At the moment, we've got 6 and 8 week. So we'd like those added to the KPIs as well, that the decision has to be made within that 6 and all. We've got two forms there, the 6 and the 8 week KPI. Chair of the panel and the lead member for planning to write a letter to the government reinforcing the need to enforce sanctions for non-completion of developments. This is where the plans have been passed and the developers are not breaking ground, they're just not developing, whether it's landholding or not. And we would like, and I know several representations from Charnwood have already been made from the planners as to this, but we would like myself and the lead member to also write asking for that to be changed, so that we have got more teeth at saying to the developers, okay, you've got your planning permission, it's there for 3 years, after that it's off the table, or probably reducing that 3 years, I don't know. And then it's to complete a best practice review of the Council's Section 106 agreement processes to identify any areas of improvement.
Can I ask why that was, if you don't mind?
No. I'll go to it now. Reasons. It's got the reason here, has it got? To reassure members of the Council, it's following best practice. So as an example, would be that the 106 restrictions that are putting on it can be also hold up the developments, and it's not necessarily clear what those 106 might be things holding up the development that could be decided at a later date. Am I right on that, Karen?
Yeah.
Like the utilities and things like that?
Reserved, it was the reserved matters.
Reserved matters, yeah. On that. So, yeah. And that they're holding up the developments. They could be holding up the developments. Could be. And that a possible review of the core strategy be completed. And that is our core strategy up to scratch? Is it suitable for now? So, but that's a new suggestion, a possible review.
Just on that one, I'm just going to ask Jeff while he's here. When do we have to review the next core strategy? Is there is it timetabled in any way?
There was the review underway now.
Yeah, I thought there was on.
So Cabinet agreed. Forgive me, I think it was April Cabinet, something like that, somewhere around then, the what they call the Local Development Scheme, which is the programme for reviewing the core strategy. So Cabinet has already made a decision on that.
There's no reason why they can't reaffirm it in their answer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. We've also...
But it is underway, Chair, so I think maybe the wording there slightly...
Yeah, we might have to...
readjust that. We've also got, and it's not exactly what we asked for, but I think there was a reason for that. They're not supplying it. Mostly when I tried to explain to Karen what we wanted, she didn't understand. So we have got a list on page 84 to show all the developments since 2011 and where those developments are. But I would have liked to have known which developments were completed but not in our core strategy, were completed because we could not object because we haven't got a 5-year supply. And so I could not tell you by looking at that list, even though I sit on the plans, I couldn't tell you whether we could have turned the Shepshed one down if we had had a 5-year supply of housing. But that's really what we were after on the list, of identifying developments that have happened. I mean, it's all past, we can't do anything about it, but identifying developments that we could have stopped by having a 5-year supply already.
Okay. So, no, that's a comment, but we can't go back.
No. Oh, no.
That's fine, that's okay. So, members, we have the reporting version. Any comments? Councillor Harris.
We've already decided to ask Cabinet to lobby central government on open spaces adoption, and we have a suggestion here to have a similar approach for enforcement when they're lagging, developers are lagging. I was just thinking maybe we could also ask Cabinet to lobby central government on the item 6 on page 76, which is the battle that the council has all the time to meet. They want to meet the needs of the residents on the housing waiting list, and the developers want to maximise the largest, most profitable house sizes.
Housing.
Yes. So. The government does say that they want to provide houses, and they talk about this, and still developers can produce huge amounts of large sizes. I wonder if we could join our voice to suggesting to central government that to achieve those aims, they could legislate that. Councils could put forward what they need in terms of houses for residents on the housing waiting list, for example, and that the developers that were then obliged to meet that, as long as it's reasonable, so that they can still make a reasonable amount of profit.
We do have the HEDNA. So housing,
housing and economic development needs analysis.
There you go. So we have that already, and that does go on housing needs, and it does point out the housing mix that we require. And obviously when a development is built and it says it's going to have 300 houses, then it's the formula is done then about which of those is going to be how many of those are going to be affordable housing. And then that will be usually two bedroom, because that is the ones that we want from our waiting list.
So why is our waiting list always so
because
I think that's a different question,
yeah,
probably not pertaining to this report, sorry.
But the housing list grows one end and it runs off the other end, so it's always going to grow with population increases.
There is a planning policy, a number of planning policies, but the core strategy does identify the requirement for affordable housing, and generally speaking across the board, 30% of developments in some places, so that's what the expected level, when you get to an individual planning application, the actual detail of that is determined on its own merits, but that is the policy framework, so you don't necessarily always secure all the affordable housing.
Not
developers often say there's a viability issue, so if the council won't negotiate some different mix, there'll be no development at all. So it's a difficult subject, really, because you might end up with no houses and no needs being met because we won't allow any latitude on the mix. So
say if it's at the brownfield site, then the cost of clearing up the brownfield site goes against it. So developers can say, right, was going to be 30%, but it's going to cost us more to develop the site, so we'll only do 20% now, and things like that. There's all sorts of factors factored in, isn't there?
So I think if that's a debate that needs to be developed and understood more fully, then I doubt you can do that tonight.
No.
You might want to ask the panel to look at that and come up with a further report, or take what they've done, and which is what's presented tonight, whether you're happy for that to go forward to Cabinet.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So we've got the... are there any other comments on the paper? We've got the six recommendations there, and the four that are not actions, but observations, let's call them. I think we have to flesh out number five a bit more.
Okay.
Because I think if we... send that to Cabinet as is. Probably got to ask the question.
Question what we've asked, yeah.
Yeah, so the others are pretty much self-explanatory, I think.
I
think we have to flesh out just a bit more.
Could I ask Karen to come to the table at this point then?
You can do.
Could you flesh that out to Karen, please?
And also, I think practice is fine.
Yes, I was going to say, I've noticed that. Yeah. So to flesh out recommendation five, to complete the best practice review of the Council's Section 106 agreement processes to identify areas of improvement. This could possibly encompass reserve matters, that was one of the areas. The other issues that was considered was around highway issues were highlighted. There was lots of conditions, so there was high... I would have to go back through the minutes, but there was...
Road structures and layouts.
It was the infrastructure. Yeah. So it was infrastructure.
Is it to secure infrastructure by the Section 106?
Yes, so infrastructure was one of the points. Reserve matters, and the building materials was one of the other matters that was highlighted. and I think that was the main thrust of some of the... the mains, the water.
It was those facilities that were going in there, that was holding up. All those ducks had to be in a row
before
anything started.
I can understand the reasons why, but I think we just need to, as a management board, we need to tie that up a bit so we give them a more clarity on what we're asking them to agree to.
So there were some issues that didn't have to be decided at the very beginning.
Yeah. I think the key point on Section 106 is there's a front end, i.e. when the planning permission is being decided, when the decision is being made.
Yeah.
And then there's an implementation end, which is when the Section 106 money is actually provided, what we actually spend it on 5 or 10 years later. And what we're clearly talking about is at that front end, when the decision is being made, whether the Section 106 requirements can be streamlined in a way that doesn't hold up.
Speeds up the decision making process.
Mm. Yeah.
In relation to matters such as infrastructure, good, utilities, and reserve.
Those
matters.
Are the words. Streamlined.
A streamlined. Thank you.
So,
yeah. Not to hold up.
You've got a kind of.
If I may, I think some of the things that have been covered are related but a separate process. So, reserve matters applications, which would be things like building materials and sometimes things in relation to pre-commencement conditions and things like that. So, there are several elements to that. So, I think those three main ones. The Section 106 agreement, reserve matters and pre-commencement conditions that are the same issue about streamlining, but they are three separate things. Mm. So I think that additional clarification may be around
the section,
that,
yeah.
And definitely with reference to streamlining and speeding up decision making to enable development to progress. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah,
so
I think that's
what I've got my notes of.
Okay.
So if we can put on the end of that in a way that streamlines and speeds up decision making,
and that
could be a catch-all, couldn't it?
Mm. And as the lead officer and the chair, would you both be happy to include reference to reserve matters and pre-commencement conditions as well as Section 107?
Yeah, that And the other one was, if we could just flesh out that one a bit, number three, that the planning application deadline figures, which are 6 weeks and 8 weeks, if I believe.
No, it's 8 weeks
and
13
weeks.
13
and 13.
Now. 13.
I thought six was a bit. Six and eight
and
was a bit close together.
And 16.
And 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, 16 weeks of an environmental impact assessment.
We didn't
raise that one, but
I think if you're going to put KPIs, put them in for all three, and then you can judge them, and then performance panel or whoever looks at them, have got.
It's to see how many
are
dealt within that time, and and how many.
Councillor Harris.
I see the resolution of the staffing recruitment issue in planning, the revolving door of agency staff, etc., was considered important by all. We know it's important. Was there any suggestion of adopting the Blaby decision or a policy? Because we know it's important, but I was under the impression, listening to planning officers at various scrutiny meetings, that it's practically insoluble. It's the situation. So
that's probably why there's not a recommendation there.
we noted it. Our pay structure doesn't allow us to vary the pay that much. So it is hard to retain. We've just sort of noted that, and we know it's a problem. But what we have recommended is that there is a more robust leaving. So one of the comments, I think it was.
That's number one on page 78.
Yeah, 78.
About the exit strategy.
Yeah, the exit strategy. Because a lot are just going, and their email is still live. So you're not having a message straight back to saying that they've left.
It's not still live.
No. Well, we're only going by what the developers were saying.
The day an officer leaves, the email account is switched off.
But
so what's probably
does it actually say that this person is?
No.
Or does it go somewhere else? Yeah.
It'll get bounced back.
Yeah. But it should go somewhere else.
Indeed, that's a general point.
Should redirect, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it should be redirected.
Question, sorry, Chair. Mm. These are identified as observations not requiring further action, but it is open to scrutiny to refer actions to officers. They don't have to go to Cabinet.
No.
So is there a reason why you've not asked the Head of Planning and Regeneration to follow up those particular issues? Because it's quite within the scrutiny's remit to do that. They have to delegate authority.
Yeah.
But you can do that.
Can we do that?
You can't, you can send a scrutiny recommendation anywhere.
Yeah.
They're off predominantly to Cabinet, but because of the scheme of delegation, a lot of decisions are made by officers, and some are reserved to council or other committees, so a scrutiny can send them wherever, whichever one's appropriate. So I would have thought those would be relevant to that.
Okay. I suppose the thought is that they would pick it up anyway, but
Yeah, the problem is surely that someone leaves and they their email switched off, but there could be an email trail with a developer.
The trail's not switched off. So their emails are still accessible. Okay, so,
yeah. Right.
It wouldn't switch off all the, wouldn't delete all the information. Yeah. It's just that that account is no longer live.
And someone else needs to take that up.
That's the problem.
That's a more robust exit strategy.
If we send that to the head of, Richard Bennett, but head of planning, maybe he can come back with a response to say that, what happened.
Okay.
Thank you. Cheers, thank you. So if we're all happy with the recommendations and the observations,
couple of things. So you made a note of the earlier on in your discussion that you wanted to perhaps revisit recommendation 6, and then just to help my understanding, in terms of 1, 2, and 3, the panel has put all those recommendations to you in the first instance as it's reporting to you.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of things there that you could do yourself, or you could ask the cabinet to do them. And what I mean by that is, again, I'm waiting for Jeff to leap in when I get this wrong. So the council's business plan sets out its key performance indicators.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wished the that to be the mechanism for doing the monitoring, i.e. that would be done at a corporate level, mm-hmm. and the same report goes to the performance panel. That's one way of addressing that.
Yeah.
Or you could just say, we want to add to the scrutiny work programme, the performance panel gets this information. A combination of those. So it's just a way that you wish to take that.
So that we
can circumvent the...
Well, I think it depends what your intention is. Is your intention that more scrutiny should happen?
Yes.
Which is obviously within your gift of the Scrutiny Management Board.
Yeah.
Or do you wish the Cabinet to take on board the... This should be monitored at a corporate level, which is obviously something that the Cabinet would have to agree.
I think if we're sending it to Cabinet and we're asking them to agree it, but we want it to happen. So if we want it to happen and we've got
just
it in the remit,
let's
put it there.
Let's just do it.
So on number one then, can we authorise anybody to do that on our behalf already?
I think what you might just look at each of them individually, say number 2 specifically mentions this, the performance scrutiny panel, whereas the reference to KPIs suggests the business plan.
Okay. So the business plan is Cabinet's, isn't it? Their ownership of it. So we should ask Cabinet to include that in their business plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 2 is that we should ask performance scrutiny to receive that information.
In that case, could we change the 20% to the 5.5 years? Would that not make it clearer?
No. Let me just read this email.
Should we leave it at 20%? That's a good...
There was a discussion with one councillor on the panel who said it should be designated as red when below 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a presumption that 20%, that was roughly around the same. So.
Yeah, okay. Let's leave it 20% because that's a percentage figure. And so we can
ask...
But we
don't do it in percent, though, that's the thing. We always do. Whether it's 5.94 or mm-hmm. we don't.
We'll let the officers grapple with that.
I don't want to prolong this too much, but in reality, the 5-year supply is calculated from information supplied by developers,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't happen on a quarterly basis. So the reliability of any figure you get won't be guaranteed, I think, because it does depend on developers sending in predictions, forecasts, which they do annually, because that's the statutory requirement for the council to do that, but I don't think we'll be able to force them to do it quarterly.
Okay.
Quite a lot of them say it's an enormously difficult exercise for them to do.
Maybe
they're willing to do it every year. So knowing what it is and then what's a tolerance, because 20% of 5 years is 1 year. So if it fell from 5 to 4, because 5's fine, if it fell from 5.5, then it would fall to 4.4 to be 20%. I think we'd know about that a long time before the performance panel got to...
Yeah, no, the particular, it was saying if it fell a bit below 5.5 years.
Yeah, well, it's probably it's below 5.5 years now. So every time you get a report saying it's still 5.5 years.
It's 5.93, wasn't it, officially?
5.29. Has it gone up to 9?
I thought it was 2.9. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
we can agree on that one. That's fine. But that one should go to policy.
But that is something.
Sorry,
that is an internal scrutiny.
Okay.
You're not going to refer that.
No.
Yeah.
Number three is that the planning application deadline figures are added to the KPIs.
That again would be for cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's for cabinet number four, along with the vendor. And then the others we know about 5 and 6. And the 6 for clarification, that the possible review of the course strategy be completed. I think we'll get an officer response on that one, and we should be happy with that.
My suggestion would be, as Jeff would say, the process has started.
Yeah,
so,
but that's what the officer will say.
So, again, not wishing to put words into the panel's mouth, but it may be that what you're actually asking for is that it to be completed as soon as reasonably possible, or whatever form of words that you...
Well, even that's a slightly difficult one, because technically the Cabinet has agreed when it will be completed, because they've signed off the local development scheme, which is the timetable. They've already agreed what that is. So I suppose what you're really saying is please stick to the timetable that you've agreed.
Yeah, confirmation.
We know how that slips and slips and slips and slips and slips and slips.
Yeah, well, what will happen in reality is there'll be another local development scheme next March.
Yeah.
And they'll then agree what the revised timetable is then. That's the way it works, frustratingly.
Can I just clarify number 5? Where is that one going? That one's going to
Cabinet
as well.
With the typos removed in 5 and these in 5. Thank you. I think we're about there with that one then. Thank you very
much.
You.